Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to Simple Actions. Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Leanne, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Leanne.
For those who care to join us, if you help us get started, opening the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other. They may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And the format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we're going to be discussing step two, which is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And tonight we've got Catherine and Scott that are going to be sharing with us. Help me welcome them tonight.
Welcome, Scott.
So I will read a paragraph. I'll give you the page number if you want to follow along. And then the panel will share for a few minutes on the reading. So we're going to start on page 44 tonight. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible. But to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might. But the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. And we're going to start with Catherine tonight.
Okay. Hi, my name is Catherine, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 2nd of 2009, and Simple Actions is my home group, so I'm glad you're all here tonight. You know, by the time I got to step two, I had a lot of truth about myself to swallow. You know, before I came to AA, I could joke about the fact that I was probably an alcoholic and laugh it off like, ha ha ha. But I really didn't know what an alcoholic was. And I really, truly, in the bottom of my heart, believed that I made the choice to drink. That I could quit if I wanted to. I just didn't want it to. I wanted to drink. And, you know, it talks about in the preceding chapters, you learn something of alcoholism. The events that took place for me to get to AA, I guess it was a moment of clarity or maybe a spiritual experience that I could see the truth about myself for the first time. But it was the first time in my life, and I drank for 16 years regularly, alcoholically from the start, always to feel the effect, that I could, I was aware that it was never going to get any better. And that was always the elusive dream that I was chasing, that someday I could manage and enjoy my drinking, which the truth is that controlled drinking is not enjoyable to me at all. So, I mean, even to this day, I still really do not quite fully understand how people have a couple of drinks and that's a good time. To me, that sounds miserable. But that is always the, you know, when those thoughts come in out suddenly out of nowhere, that a couple of drinks sound like a good idea. I don't know why I think that somehow I'm going to drink like that magically. But the bottom line is that by the time I got to this point in the book, and really by the time I got to AA, I had no doubt in my mind that I was an alcoholic. And the truth is that when I realized I couldn't stop drinking, and again, I say the word realized, but I really believe it was a moment of clarity. It's not some conclusion that I came to, logically thinking I came to this conclusion. It was like a truth that was presented to me in that second time where I could see it. And so, where I'm going with that is that it helped me to know that it wasn't necessarily my fault that I was an alcoholic, that I had an illness, that my body was sick, and my mind was sick, and I had a spiritual sickness as well. It really made sense because I really thought that I was a bad person. You know, where it talks about if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, I could have wished from the bottom of my heart to be different, to live differently, to be on time for work, to show up for all the events I said I was going to be at that I just couldn't seem to make. But I didn't have the power to do that. And I didn't have the power to live differently. I could read about it and I could wish for it, but I couldn't make it happen. And so when I honestly looked at this, I had never tried to quit drinking entirely. That was never really an option on the table for me. I did all the different ways that we try to limit the drinking, but I was never successful at that for any period of time. But when I was drinking, I had little control over the amount that I took. So I was in agreement. Yes, I'm alcoholic. Then when it talks about being atheist or agnostic, I had never heard the term agnostic until I got to AA. I didn't even know what that was. Somewhere inside of me, an old idea was that God was good and all that good stuff, but I would wait till I got closer to death to really explore that whole relationship. Like, I didn't really need that now, because somewhere inside of me, and I still, this old idea still likes to rise to the surface today, that God really isn't involved in my daily life. That really, what happens to me day in and day out, the choices I make, that God's not involved in that. And that's something that the rest of the steps have helped to open up for me, but I had no sense of that coming into AA. So when it talked about living on a spiritual basis, I'm picturing, maybe join a convent, maybe, get really into meditation. I've definitely got to probably do some yoga or something. I mean, like, just crazy. I mean, this is the way I thought. But to be honest with you, the point of disaster that my life had gotten to, at my last drinking binge, I almost killed two people. I lost my job and totaled my car and almost died in a matter of 24 hours. And was arrested for a felony. So the truth is that I had so many consequences before that that normal people would have said, hey, this is pretty bad. But it didn't register with me. But for some reason that time, like I said, there was a second where I could see the truth. I kind of accepted inside of me that I would do whatever it took to stop drinking, but I had conceded to the fact that it was going to be a miserable life. But that was okay, because I needed all the other crap to stop. All that other crap had to stop. The trouble, and just, oh my gosh, it was getting out of control. So when it talked about we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else, again, I start getting a little scared, because I don't know what that looks like. I have no idea what that means for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Hi, my name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Scott.
Sobriety date is July 10th, 06. I belong to Principals Group in Chesapeake. We meet on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. So if you're ever in Chesapeake, come see us. Step two, came to believe. That's a process for me. It took a long time for me to come to believe. It just didn't happen overnight, you know. When I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, it wasn't my first go at this place. I've been coming here since I was 16 because the courts ordered me to Alcoholics Anonymous. The probation officers ordered me here. The lawyers told me it's probably a good idea if you go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I agreed with every one of them. I went to Alcoholics Anonymous in Serenity Lodge on Military Highway, and that was in my neighborhood. I grew up in South Norfolk. It's the only neighborhood that I know of that had its own rehab. That might have been a sign from birth, but I did a lot of time in and out of rehab. So, you know, my life was completely unmanageable, and I was completely an alcoholic when I got to the doors. You know, there was no doubt about it. The part that I didn't want to give up was the drink. I didn't want to stop drinking. I really didn't want to stop. I come in here and I wanted you to teach me how to drink safely. I got tired of getting arrested. I got tired of getting caught driving drunk. I knew you were following me, waiting for me to have a beer. I really thought the police followed me for that one reason. My life changed when I got here this time. I was at a state of hopelessness. As Bill says, it's like a requirement. You know, who knew that? Being hopeless. When my life seemed to be nothing, I qualified to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. How uplifting is that? I get to come into a room and look at all these dreary people talking about how they used to drink, and my mouth would water. I'm getting thirsty listening. You know, that's how I come in at 16, 18 years old. You know, I would leave, go right to 7-Eleven, get a 12-pack. No sweat. I've been through many treatment facilities. outpatient, inpatient, I know how to talk trash. I'm going to try to keep my language clean tonight. I'm going to do my best. But you know the word I want to use. But I could talk a bunch of trash, and I learned the lingo very quickly. You know, I was a liar. I lied my whole life. I cheat, I stole, I did these things. And, you know, that's another qualification to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had no idea. At 40 years old, my way won't work, man. Won't work. I got arrested for shoplifting, and I had got myself, you know, hooked on another substance. I won't get into what that is, but it took an awful lot of my time on a daily basis to not get sick. You know, I had to run the streets and do what I had to do. I didn't have time to work. I didn't have time to do nothing. You know, this occupied 24/7. And when I got caught for that shoplifting, I was telling this guy, I was coming over here tonight, I had been praying for it. I knew I was done. You know, I was done. You know, when the security guard grabbed me at one of our local Home Depots and says, come with me, I said, okay. There was no fight. There was nothing. I was done. A couple years earlier, we'd have been rolling around in the parking lot, or he'd have been chasing me. But, you know, right then, I was done. It was done. I was over. And, you know, that's the level of hopelessness that I was in. I was state of mind. My state of mind was, this is not working, man. I don't know what's going to work. You know, I either want to die, or I want to kill somebody, I want to jump off a cliff. I can't do none of this. It's not happening. But I went back to jail, thank God. And in jail, I'll say this real quick, I didn't realize it, but what I did in there is I woke up in a treatment block. I didn't go to general population. They stuck me in there, and that's unheard of, but I got to go there for a while until a bed opened up across the hall. And then across the hall, I didn't do the stuff I normally done, you know, try to work out, whatever, you know, run around that crazy. I was standing on the top tier, and I would look down at all these young men in there that they were half beating each other crazy, and I'm like, I'm still here. You know, I'm still here. What the hell, man? And I sat in my cell, and I had a book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the other fellowship. I had a book from that one, too. And I just read. You know, I was ready to go to prison for a couple years. They promised me that. They didn't deliver. But I was ready. I was ready. So when I read this chapter, let me get into this. Enough about me. When I read this chapter, normally when I read the book with somebody or belong to a couple book studies, we read a couple paragraphs. So you read a page and a half to me, I'm freaking lost. So I'm going to try to recapture this. When you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. Or if when you're drinking, you have little control of the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. No shit. That would be my answer to that. Okay. You got me. You got me listening. See, because by the time I got into this part of the book, I had already related to the phenomenon of craving talked about in the doctor's opinion. Now I needed to know a little bit more. If I'm powerless over this substance, you know, I heard my sponsor's here, Jim, his sponsor, tell us if you're powerless, you got no choice but to go to step two and find the power. And that's what this step does. I'm finding the power. I'm relating first, then I start to love. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always the alternatives to faith. I wasn't going to be religious. It's not going to happen. And I don't know why I said that. You know, I grew up in a religious family, and religion was their way. That's what I was taught. I wasn't going to be that. Come find out, I don't have to be that. So that was a good eye-opener. About half our original fellowship. See, I started relating everything. That's the first time when I was 40 years old, I didn't compare myself out, which wasn't much left to compare to. But I started to relate to everybody in the rooms, and I wanted what they had. And I was willing to do anything they wanted me to do. I was done, man. And that's what I started doing. And y'all started telling me about yourself, and I started believing you for once. And then this thing about this higher power, man. People started explaining to me how they see things in a different light that I wasn't used to, and that really got my attention too. And I like this, our human resources, as marshaled by will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. And I knew that. I knew that I couldn't do this alone. So, lack of power was our dilemma. Thank you. Now there's my answer. What do I do about it? And that's what we're going to talk about here coming up. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to continue on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed by a new sense of power and direction. Provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of the Spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
Okay. Thank you, Leanne. So I do want to say that when I had that moment of clarity when I was sitting in the jail cell, I had a similar experience. I had left the scene of an accident, and because I didn't want to get another DUI, and the state troopers, you know, nicely came to get me the next morning. And I had the same reaction. The second I heard that, you know, pounding on the door, I knew what it was. I knew who was there. I didn't have to get out of bed. I knew what was going on. And sitting in that jail cell was the first time ever that I wasn't like, because I had obviously had a lot of arrests, but my primary issue was drinking and driving. I don't know why I don't know what the deal is, but if I drink, I have to drive somewhere. I don't know what the problem is, but that's just my MO. So, and then I like to drive on suspended licenses and revoked and, you know, make fake tags and all kinds of craziness. But the bottom line is that time was different. It was the first time that I wasn't scheming in my mind about how I was going to get out of this one, who I was going to call, where I was going to move so that I could drive without anyone knowing. And for some reason, sitting there, because I that morning, and it was in the police report, that I appeared intoxicated when they came to the door, and I had stopped drinking that night, I don't know, maybe 10 or 11 o'clock, because the accident happened right around 5 p.m. So anyways, it's just to say I consumed an excessive amount of alcohol. But sitting there, seeing the car in the morning and how bad it was, and sitting there, I couldn't figure out why I was still alive. And it was the first time in my life that I can remember up to that point that I experienced something that wasn't humanly possible, like explainable. And I don't know why I had the thought that it must have, the only one who could have protected me was God. And here I have no relationship, I have no prayer life, nothing. And I had that experience where I saw what was going to happen, like that it was never going to get any better, that I was going to kill someone. And then I tried to start praying. I don't know where this came from, but it was like I tried to start praying to Our Father, and I couldn't even remember the words. So I'm sitting there just saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, Our Father who art in heaven," over and over and over again. And it was like this peace came over me. Obviously, by the time I got to AA, it had been, 5 days later. I kind of thought, oh my God, this is a cult. Because they were praying and holding hands, you know, me with my stellar judgment abilities. But the bottom line is that there was some willingness to be open, even though there was a lot of skepticism. And I don't know where that willingness came from specifically. It just was there. And so reading this stuff was very helpful to me. that however inadequate I was or my thoughts about God, it didn't matter. It really didn't matter. So that gives a person like me a lot of hope, because I really thought that I was damaged goods and there was no way for me to right all the wrongs that I had done. And I guess lastly, what really helped me in the beginning was the lady who picked me up for my first meeting, became my first sponsor, her telling me how to pray. And it was very simple. Get on your knees at night and thank God for keeping you sober that day, and get on your knees in the morning and ask Him to keep you sober. And that was like the smallest beginning, but it meant so much for me, because I felt like an idiot doing it, but it slowly got longer and longer, and I could sit in those times or kneel in those times, and I felt that raw, roomy, all-inclusive highway. Thank you.
This is probably one of my favorite paragraphs in the book right here. I got a meditation CD that wakes me up in the morning, and this is what it reads right here. But it starts off with the one in front of it. It says, "We found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudices and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, which I had, we commenced to get results, which I got." You know, we got results. That's what I've been looking for, results, my whole time in here. If I wouldn't have got results, I wouldn't be here. You know, if things didn't start, at first it was results, was I was staying sober, man. I was like, I don't know, at the time I got to step two, I was probably 2-3 months out of jail, and I hadn't had a drink. That was simply amazing to me. You know, I'm the kind of guy who got out of jail every time and walked to the store, or had somebody picking me up for a pack of cigarettes and a 40 ounce every time. But this last time, that didn't happen. You know, I didn't drink. I went straight to Alcoholics Anonymous that night. I didn't play around. You know, if something said you need to go to AA, you better go to AA. You know, don't stay alone. And then my sponsor picked me up that night, because I had a sponsor prior to my last relapse, I hope. I called him and he picked me up. And he took me to an AA meeting. And he says, "An alcoholic alone is in bad company." And I didn't get that. You know, and later on down the road, when I, you know, get into service work and I become part of the treatment committee, and I find out about this program called Bridging the Gap, hey, I actually did that, not knowing that I did something like that. So that was a great experience I could share with people in detoxes and in prison. So far, I haven't had a drink, and I did exactly what this little thing says right here, and I didn't know I was doing it. And it seems to work for me. Maybe it can work for you. But this is it right here. Even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God, so nobody knows what it is. I definitely don't know what it is. And I was all right to find out that you didn't know either, you know, because I don't want to look dumb. I don't want to look dumb, man. I got an ego. I didn't know nothing about that. I didn't want you to know I didn't know. You know, and I remember I used to come to AA wondering what the secret was. "Oh, y'all got some secret you're hiding from me." Then I'd say, "Well, shit on it. Go get a six-pack." But that's just how it was. Ego. That's all ego. Much to our relief, now I get some relief. First I get results, get a little relief. We discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. My mom, my grandma, my father, everybody in my family. I'm the only alcoholic. I don't know how that happened. But I didn't have to know theirs. You know, I don't have to. It's not a requirement. That's the best thing about this program. There's no requirements. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach, just the approach. I can get started with whatever I believe. I believe you believe, I'm good. I believe AA is my higher power, I'm good. That's all I need. That's all I needed for quite some time. It seemed to work for me for a few years. As soon as we admitted the possibility, the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed every sense of power, lack of power was my problem. As soon as I admitted that there's something bigger than me out there, these are all the results I'll start getting out of this thing. You know, I'll start getting this stuff. And all I had to do was take the rest of the steps. That's it. Sounds pretty simple. You know, but I fought it. I fought this thing for years. I knew about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous for 25 years. And I would not accept anything you told me. Because I'm just a drunk, ego-driven alcoholic, self-will run riot. Mm-hmm. I was going to learn. I was going to be the only person in human history to drink properly after having multiple felony arrests. Yeah, that's ego. But that's how I thought when I got here. Something happened. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, God.
All right, page 47. We needed to ask ourselves but one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe, or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Well, the answer is yes. So Scott knows chicken. Because of my experience of coming into AA, I could truthfully say from the bottom of my heart that I did believe that there was a power greater than myself, because I had no human explanation to explain how I made it out of that car accident alive. And that's the simple fact of it. I will say that in step two, the way my first sponsor had me do that, she would give me like a little, email me like, I don't know, 6 or 7 questions. Some part of it would be read, and then some things that I'd have to write out. And she would do that for each step. And then the first step, it was all the ways. I think I had to list 3 ways that my life was unmanageable because of alcohol, and 3 ways that I was powerless over alcohol. So when I got to step 2, she asked me to write out at least 3 ways that I was insane because of alcohol. And I remember getting pissed off because I'm like, didn't I just do that? You know? But it really, what I'm trying to say is that answering this question was fairly easy for me. I had more fear around admitting that I was insane and actually seeing that. Once I gave it an honest try to write that out, I could see it in my behavior. Clearly was insane, and it was very different than being unmanageable or powerless, like actual insanity. And that God could do something about that, believing that he could do something about that. Thanks.
We needed to ask ourselves one question. I asked a bunch of questions. I still ask a bunch of questions to myself. Some days are better than others. I can honestly say that. You know, some days I'm full of I believe. Some days I'm not full of not me. You know, that's not too good of a day. But, I believe. I believe today. But I can't come to believe. Just like this, I mean, I can't believe. I can tell you about a situation. I'll try to do it before the end. But the exact day I came to believe. You know, something happened. Something happened to me. I'll do it now. What the hell? I was almost 2 years sober. I was married at the time. And me and my wife went to her family party, and you know, it's big beer drinking. You know, cooking on the grill, karaoke, and outside, freaking country western. I don't want to say. But it was one of them things. And in my head, I was going there to show them how freaking sober I am. You know? Because they all think I'm going to drink. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. I was coming up on 2 years sober. I got to this day. I'm doing service work. Let me tell you, I'm doing service work. I've worked steps. I've had a couple people call me. You know, 1,000 asked for my number, a couple called. And I think I'm it. And I know the book. I belong to a big book study. I'm studying at my sponsor's house. And I go to this thing, and I pull up, and I got the blow and go in my truck. I got a freaking driver's license. No problem. I don't drink. I sit down next to my wife. She got there because I had talked to my sponsor before I went. He said, I always have a way out. I knew that. And I sat down next to my wife in a lawn chair. Her niece pulls up with a baby carriage. And on top of this baby carriage is a cup holder. She puts a beer right next to me. And I was just infatuated with that beer. It all stopped. And I know at that time I was looking around the party. There's probably 80 people there. And I know for a fact that maybe 10 of them were drinking. But at that time, I seen everybody drinking. That's all I could focus in on was the people drinking. These are people I drank with. And I see this one guy just pouring that beer in a cup, man, and down it. And I was like, damn, that looks good. That looks good, you know. And we get up and we eat. We get something to eat, and I can't get my mind off this beer, man. I'm just watching the beer being drank. I can't help it, you know. I said, and I'm sitting down, I finish eating. My wife says, don't you, it's time for your nap, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. I think I'll leave. And I left. And I got on the phone. I did what y'all told me. I called my sponsor. I'm calling everybody in the group. I'm calling everybody that I need a number to. Nobody's answering. What I did is I can get an old dose. I'll go get an old dose. That's what I do. I'm driving. And I drive past the store, I go to my house, I got a trailer at the time. I go to the trailer and I get on my knees because that's what y'all tell me. You start praying. You better pray. My sponsor's voice is in my head. You better have a connection with some power greater than yourself because the time is going to come where you will drink. I heard that plain as day in my head. What happened was I wanted to still drink. I said, this shit ain't working. It ain't working, man. I need to just get it over with. Just go. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Just do it. You know, them favorite words over there. You know, they say it in Narcotics Anonymous talk. F it. Comes in my head. And what happens, I just laid on the bed shaking. The phone rings. And it's a guy sponsored in the other fellowship. One who actually called me every once in a while. And he's in the emergency room and he's trying to break up morphine patches and shoot them up. I said, man, you're going to kill yourself. What are you, nuts? And we're sitting there talking. I'm listening to this guy. And we talked about 20 minutes, you know, and I'm still laying on the bed. And when I hung the phone up, my wife walked in, and she just looked at me. She said, you all right? And I said, yeah. It went away. You know, that thought messed up. That thought, dang, stop. That thought of drinking, and I know what it was going to be, went away. It left me. You know, that's the power. That's when I came to believe. Right then at that moment. I don't know if anybody else can do that, but I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. Thanks. I didn't mean to do that.
It's all good. Mm. You're human.
Go be.
And we're going to continue on page 52.
Okay.
We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were afraid of misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
So this... I remember reading this when I was in treatment. I mean, I went to like a recovery house for 30 days. because I had a really hard time separating from alcohol. Physically, I mean mentally, I was really crazy. Not so much that I couldn't stand to be in my own skin. And the attorney had given me a pamphlet for a place. So I called them about 3 days after I came into AA and asked them if they had a bed, and they had one opening the next week. So I went there, and I was one of the few people that actually would be sitting around reading this book. I remember people used to write, get on my case about all the time. But this lady, I wanted a sponsor there because you could leave the facility to go meet with them. And I wanted that. So I listened. We went to meetings all day long in the community, and I heard a lady sharing in a meeting, and I liked what she had to say, so I went up to her and asked if she'd be my temporary sponsor. And she said, sure. Go home and read first 164 pages of the big book and call me when you're done. And I was like, what the F? I mean, 164 pages? That's crazy. I just want to go get some coffee. Like at a Starbucks. But anyway, so I took it seriously and started reading this. And it really started, again, my issue wasn't so much whether I believed in a power greater than myself. It was more with like feeling, having it live inside of my heart and truly believing that this power was involved in my life every day. And so examples that they gave in this chapter coming up to here, I mean, I was like hanging on hook, line, and sinker. Like, yes, I am. I'm willing to try the newest gadget. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to do that. Why am I not willing to believe in this? And I totally, I'm like, I bought it. I agreed with what was being said. And so when I got to this paragraph here, which, I mean, it's been said that these are the bedevilments, which are kind of like the opposite of the promises that we hear in the ninth step. I had all of these problems. And I can have all of these problems in recovery, too. So why would I not apply the same readiness that I'm willing to apply to change my, you know, brand of coffee or my... the gas station I go to, or whatever it is, to my problems. Why am I not willing to try something different? And these problems are pretty crappy. Trouble with personal relationships. I still have issue if I'm not like really close to God when I'm in difficult personal relationship situations. I can't control them, and I'm in a situation right now that requires a lot of control of my emotional nature. And it is such a relief to be able to be around other people and internally ask God for help and really feel it, feel the help there. A prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I wasn't employable for quite some time. I had to do temp jobs, clean houses. I didn't think I'd ever go back into my profession. I didn't think that was possible, but it is. I was definitely useless, fearful, unhappy, and I really had nothing to offer other people except to be an example of what not to do with your life. So, when it gets to the conclusion of seeing other people solving their problems by reliance, and that's the part, the reliance. Believing that a power exists, yeah, I'm on board, but relying on that power to solve my problems. All right, I'll try. I don't know how this works, but I'll try. Thanks, God.
The bedevilments, yeah, they're bedeviled. I get it quite often. Chief, I've stumbled around in Alcoholics Anonymous, sober, making a lot of mistakes. I stumble around in life, I make a lot of mistakes. My life is imperfect. By no means. I mean, it's a lot better than it used to be. But it's, emotionally, I can get tied up in anything, man, and forget about what I really need to be doing, you know. My emotions, I don't know. I told you I come in here married. I'm not married no more. So somewhere we had to get a divorce, and that was an emotional thing. I didn't know what to do. You know, I didn't think it was going to be that bad, truthfully, because I didn't know what love meant, so I couldn't be in love. But when we broke up, I mean, I was alone. I'm like, what the hell is this? You know, and that's something I had to deal with. And I was reaching and grabbing for anything I possibly could. You know, except for what I needed to reach and grab for. You know, and that's the power of God. And when I see that power of God, I'm amazed. I'm still amazed. Because I get to see that today. Every time I sponsor a guy, that light comes on, it talks about it and working with others. Bam! There he is again. Bam! How does that happen? You know, it takes me back. You know, I'm sitting up here today the way I am, but, you know, nobody in this room loves shooting dope, smoking crack, and drinking like I did. I loved it. For some reason, I don't do that today. That's the power of God. That's the only thing I can tell you what it is. That ain't got nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. And like my sponsor pointed out to me again today, I had to take some actions, and then God does the rest, just like suit up and show up. You know, that's what we do. That's what I do with it. You know, I don't want to drink, and I don't want to shoot dope, and I don't want to smoke crack. You know, in the beginning, it was just a little bit more. I wanted to stay sober. Today, I tell you, it's a whole lot more. You know, that's the power of God. You know, I got a little time and distance away from it. And I suggest that to everybody. You know, I seem to get the guys who are just like me. That's just how it works. And I can share with them, you know, you need to be time away from it. You need to maybe take yourself out of society for a month or two and just go away. You know, be in rehab, jail. Seemed to work for me pretty good. You know, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. You know, because my last thinking when I was drinking and drinking was death's got to be better. You know, that's pretty bad. Where do you go from there? Nowhere but up. Nowhere but up. You know, if you get to that point, and where I got to that point, I'm not going to preach to anybody, tell anybody nothing, because I don't know what you should do, but I got to that point where death was a pretty good option. Nothing but up. That was my experience. And it all started with not picking up a drink. And I just explained one scenario about that not picking up. I was scared to death to drink for a year. I'm still worried about it. You know, I know what's going to happen. Because I realize I got the phenomenon of craving. I'm sick. I'm a sick person. And what I got to do is not take that first drink, because that's the one that's going to get me drunk. That stuff stays fresh in my head. I don't let that go. That's why I stay involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I got to be right in the middle. I didn't know I was going to be in the middle. I had guys push me in the middle. This is what you're going to do. And I said, okay. Still today, okay. You know, I don't know how this stuff works. I just know it works pretty good. You know, I got 40 years sober saying, hey, it works great. It's me that's messed up. And that's the truth, you know. Spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. I stopped doubting. I believe. Thanks.
All right, we're going to flip on to the, in the back of the book, Appendix 2. It's down on page 568. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable.
So, this appendix on spiritual experience, I like that because I told you I had some kind of crazy ideas about a spiritual basis of living, what that might look like. And this kind of helped me see that it was a little more practical, even though this really is going to save my life. This power is the only thing that can save my life. And I know truly, and when I came in, I still couldn't quite understand how to be aware of God. It really started with that simple prayer, that simple time of praying, and being around other people, hearing other people talk about their relationship. But I really, for me, that the part that really kind of scared me the most was honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover. I had no experience with honestly facing my problems. I run, I hide, I quit, I go home, I hang up, whatever it is, I walk away when anything gets difficult. AA is the first place that I've ever experienced honestly facing my problems. And to me, like all the fear that is built up when there's a problem that I don't know how to deal with, and being honest about it and facing it, whether it's talking to someone or expressing whatever it is that needs to be done. I remember the first, besides, coming into AA and the whole awareness that I had no idea how to stop drinking and being terrified that I couldn't do it alone, not too long after I was in the program, my sobriety is December 2nd. I mean, my original, last day I had a drink was October 17th. No, I'm sorry, October 19th. But my true sobriety date is December 2nd because of outside issues. But that January, my storm door had flown off my front door while I was gone at work. And I came home and it was leaning up against the trash can. And so I was asking my roommate, what happened? She's like, I don't know. The wind blew it off. I found it on your neighbor's car. And I was like, oh my God. And I think I had liability only insurance. And, my mind's going like, this is going to cost me money. And my immediate reaction is, okay, we need to hide the door. We don't talk about it. We don't say anything about it. And it was like one of the first times in early sobriety that I had to honestly face a problem and deal with the consequences. In that situation, my neighbor was very appreciative that I came and talked to him about it. In fact, they already knew about it. So that's something that I do believe, for me, those experiences help me to walk with God in my life. Like, no matter how afraid I am, if I can ask God to help me be honest and face whatever problem it is, even though I'm totally terrified, and I can walk through it and I don't fall apart, the world doesn't blow up and combust, then I do, for whatever reason for me, have that experience of like, oh my God, thank you for carrying me through this. Thank you for protecting me. And, I'm so grateful for having just a tiny bit of open-mindedness to spiritual concepts. I mean, I really do remember very strongly feeling like, why would I listen to AA people in AA tell me about God? Like, what do they have to offer me? Or what can they tell me that I don't already know? The bottom line is that I don't know anything. So, my first sponsor, I mean, her constant words to me were just, be honest. I mean, every time we would talk, just be honest. And so that really, honesty, open-minded, and willingness being the essentials of recovery is still true for me today. Thanks.
I'm listening to her say, sponsor, talk about just be honest. My sponsor told me I was incapable of being honest. He didn't come in here telling the truth. I was like, damn, I'd beat off all this crap to him for about, a good 5-minute run. And he'd just look at me. All right. I'm like, what? No, good boy, none of that. I was seeking approval. He said, all right. Just look at me. You know, that's a blessing of coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, so you find somebody who won't put up with you. They're not going to listen to your shit. We know when you're lying. You know, you've been lying your whole life, Scott. You know, you've been sober, what, a day and a half, and you're telling the truth. Yeah, you're the one. I always wanted to be the one. How grateful I am, I'm not the one. You know, I'm part of, that's it, that's it. I was willing, man. I was open, I was kind of open-minded, I'm not going to lie. I was a lot of willing. You know, willingness was my key. So I just had to grab a hold of one spiritual principle. And I didn't even know it was a spiritual principle, but I was willing because I come to Alcoholics Anonymous every night for a long time, 4 or 5 times a day, wanting to know the big secret. You know, it took a while, but I got a little more honest. And I'm a lot more honest today than I was when I walked in the doors. So that's saying something right there. I still lie. It happens. Yeah, it's, from time to time I've been known to tell a little lie, you know, but I don't have to drink, and hopefully I'm not saying something that hurts somebody. That's the difference. You know, I like the spiritual principle, contempt prior to investigation. I did that to Alcoholics Anonymous my whole life. I said it won't work for me. I never gave it a shot. So once I give it a shot, what happens? It works. Mm-hmm. So, it's this program of recovery, the essentials of recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. You know, step one is the only one I gotta do all the time. I cannot drink. That's about it. You know, everything else I kind of fumble through and I make mistakes the rest of the life. After I put these 11 principles, the 12 steps, practice these principles and all my affairs. After I use it for drinking, then I get to go back and use them all for the rest of my life in every situation that really, really baffles me. And it works. If I do it, you know, I got to do the work, you know. I came to believe, I don't know when specifically, but that day had a lot to do with it. And my life has changed ever since. And it keeps changing, and I appreciate y'all asking me here tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. All right. Thank you so much to both of you for coming out tonight. At this time, we're going to pass the second tradition basket. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It's both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only the group, but also their intergroup central office, local services, district, area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. Are there any AA-related announcements?
My name is Devin Alcoholic.
Hey, Devin.
2015 Tidewater Elk Pond Committee is having an elk pond on New Year's Eve. It's being held in Surfside Inn in Virginia Beach. There's going to be a potluck, 6:38, speaker at 8, and a dance and music that follows. The speaker is Deanna R. from Fredericksburg. And I have tickets right now. They're $15, $20 and $4. So if you want, you can get with me after the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
I got one. My name is Scott Alcoholic. My home group principals is having its 7th anniversary January 26th, and we meet at Greenbrier and Kentfield Road. The evening starts at 6:45, I think. 6:30, speaker 7:45. Thanks. January
26th.
Thank you.
This meeting is a home group. And if you're interested in joining our group, Millie, please see one of us at the meeting home group. Will you raise your hand? Newcomers, is there anyone in the first 30 days of sobriety that would like to introduce themselves just by your first name so we can get to know you and welcome you?
Hi, I'm Ellen.
Hey, Ellen. Welcome. Glad you're here.
I'm Jeremy. I'm an alcoholic addict.
Hey, Jeremy. Glad you're here.
Anyone else? Literature is available. It is set up at the back table back there. Books have a small price on the front, and you can just see me or one of the group members after the meeting if you're interested in a book. And pamphlets are free. And there's about there are newcomer packets back there, I believe, they're in a yellow envelope that have meeting lists and things like that inside. So please feel free to take one of those. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, we have Lygia and myself, or David, will be up here. If you have any questions about sponsorship, you can come up and ask us any questions you may have. Smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. And all of our meetings are recorded, and they're on our website, simpleactions.net, so you can see any upcoming events or go back and listen to speakers that have sat up here in the past. And if y'all will please help me thank our speakers again tonight.
Thank you, Scott.
And feel free after the meeting's over to come up and talk to them or just thank them for coming out here tonight.
Give us money. Sorry.
Sponsor.
Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on the stuff discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which is at Plaza del Sol. It's on 22nd and Colonial Avenue. Some of us go out there after this meeting and have dinner or just sit around and chat about what we talked about tonight. And do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? David?
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. And we'll close with the Lord's Prayer for those that are here.
Drop, give me 50.
You don't have to cut across.
That's still good.
Our Father,
our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and forever. Amen.
All right. Woohoo!